This is episode number 850 with NFL Hall of Famer Tony Gonzalez.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Helen Keller said, avoiding danger is no safer in the long run than outright exposure. The fearful are caught as often as the bold. I am super excited about this interview with my man, Tony Gonzalez. We just got back a week ago from the Summit of Greatness, and it was the four-year anniversary of the Summit of Greatness. An incredible weekend. Thousands of people flew in from around the world, and I'm so grateful. I'm still on a high reflecting on what that weekend was like. If you enjoyed that weekend, I've been seeing so many people posting about it on Instagram and Twitter. It was just a powerful time, and it shows me how powerful and inspiring this community is, coming together, creating lifelong friendships. People were coming who had gotten engaged, meeting previous years, business partnerships, building seven-figure businesses in the last couple of years. So much inspiration. So I just want to say thank you for everyone who came. And if you haven't got your ticket for next year, we've already sold 2,000 tickets in the first week for next year. Go to summitofgreatness.com, check it out. And I can't wait to get back there and see all of you in person. Just amazing. So thank you guys so much. I am pumped about my man, Tony Gonzalez. I've got to spend some good time with him over the last 6 months. And he's actually my next door neighbor. He lives about a couple blocks away in a much nicer home than mine. But he is just such an inspiration and such a good guy. Great husband, great father, and one of the greatest of all time. Former NFL tight end who was just inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year. He was a 14-time Pro Bowl selection and holds the NFL record for total receiving yards by a tight end and the second all-time in receptions. And following retirement, Tony became an analyst on CBS's NFL pregame show, NFL Today, where he worked until the end of 2016 season. And he's currently an analyst for Fox NFL's pregame show, Big Time. And he's got a brand new podcast called Wide Open. He dives deep into conversations with the brightest minds and worlds of business and entertainment to discuss health, wellness, and mindset. Make sure to check out Wide Open. In today's interview, we dive in deep as well. We go wide open and talk about how Tony stays open with his heart in an ego-filled industry and how he differentiates himself by staying in that heart-centered space. We talk about visualization, discipline, and other tools to finding your routine for success, facing your fears to figure out what you really want in life, the things Tony wishes he had done differently for his team, and how it has transformed him as a leader and a father, and the greatest lessons he's learned from his wife and his children. We dive into that and so much more. I am super pumped. Make sure to share this with your friends. Episode number 850. Make sure to text this to one friend, lewishowes.com/850. Post it on your Instagram story and tag Tony Gonzalez as well, as I'm sure he'd love to hear your thoughts about this.
I don't know about you, but when around 3 p.m. hits, I find myself craving the right refreshment to get me through that mid-afternoon slump. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea is full-flavored sweet tea, but without the sugar and the calories. It might take several bottles for you to believe that a delicious sweet tea can really have zero sugar and zero calories. But you know what they say, life is full of surprises. Or in this case, full of flavor. New Pure Leaf Zero Sugar Sweet Iced Tea. Try it to believe it. For 20% off your next 12-pack, head to Amazon and use promo code 20PureLeaf. That's promo code 20PureLeaf for 20% off.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Welcome, everyone, to the School of Greatness podcast. We've got Hall of Famer Tony Gonzalez in the house, my man. Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you.
Super excited about this. We got connected, when was it, a couple months ago? A few months ago?
I don't know. How did we get connected? I was thinking about that on the way over here.
Someone made an email intro. It was Catherine Woodward Thomas, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where you met her originally, but she had come on the show like years ago.
For people out there, because Catherine Woodward, she does...
She's a therapist.
The therapist, yeah.
She's a therapist that does a marriage counseling and things like that, I believe, still. But I remember I went to a session with her like 5 years ago when I was going through a breakup a couple girlfriends ago and trying to figure out what was wrong with me.
You got a lot of girlfriends, huh? That's probably one thing's wrong.
I know. It's finding the right girlfriend, which I think I found right now. So I remember going to her because I was just like, am I broken? What's wrong with me? Why am I attracting these women? What's, you know, what do I need to work on my inner stuff? And she was amazing.
She was great. I met her at a Mind Valley event.
Okay, yeah.
Which is Vishen Lakhiani.
Yeah, he's great.
And I've become friendly with him. So anyways, yeah, the whole room was filled with people like her. So
amazing
good room to be in. And then
she connected us over email, I guess.
Yeah, because she was just talking to me. And so I had seen your stuff before, School of Greatness, on YouTube. You know, I'm a big YouTube guy.
Sure.
And so I've been admiring your stuff for a long time. And then it's funny how you meet somebody and she's like, you know, somebody that you kind of remind me of is
this big jock guy.
Yeah. And she goes, yada, yada, yada. And I go, yeah. And that's how.
Yeah, it's cool. So we connected over email. Finally, I think we met up for lunch. And then I came over to your place a few times, and
yeah, I used my cold tub.
I did, man, because I was training. I know, I love that. I'm gonna come over more. It's got an amazing place. We have some things in common. You were an All-American football player. Mm-hmm. So was I. You went on to play in the NFL. I just played kind of semi-pro football, arena league. Mm-hmm. And we're both over 6'4".
You're both over 6'4".
And we both hold football records.
Really? What records do you hold?
Well, I mean, I've got some school records at small schools that don't mean anything. You've got actual NFL records. But I still hold the record for the most receiving yards in a single game.
Really? At your high school?
In college.
In college.
And it was an all-division record, 418 yards in one game.
Get the hell out of here. You had 418 yards in one game.
For 10 years, it was maybe 11 years, it was an all-division record. I don't think anyone in pro had ever done it, or high school or college. And then someone in D2 broke it like 4 years ago.
How the hell did you have 418 yards in one game?
You know what's crazy? At the end of the game, we lost. I scored four touchdowns. I scored like a 2-point conversion. I was kicking field goals and extra points. I was like punting, kicking off, defense. I was doing everything. It was D3. Uh-huh. And they had two or three guys on me. And I remember at the end, I was so focused on the loss that I was like, I had a good game. Maybe I had like 150 yards. Like. Uh-huh. And they were like, no, you had 418 yards. And I was like, are you sure the stats were messed up? It was like 17 catches, 418 yards. And it was one of those games, I'm sure you've had this, where I just felt like no one could stop me.
Yeah.
I just said, throw me the ball. I mean, every receiver says, throw me the ball the whole time.
Yeah.
But I was just like in the zone. They had one guy on me, then two, then the safety over top. And it was just like, it was always perfect placement. And I just caught the ball.
Isn't that a good place to be?
It's amazing, man.
That's the place that I try to get daily. Can you get into that
zone,
that flow, that heart, that whatever? Can you do that daily is what I'm after. That's the questions I always have for people. Always.
Still.
Always. Because I felt like that during games.
Yeah. How did you get into that? And when did you know that you weren't into it?
You get into it, first of all, at each level. You know, as you keep leveling up. You have those type of games. I mean, you're a kid out there, and I remember being back in junior high playing basketball. I was a horrible football player, but in basketball, I was like, okay, this is something I can do. And where you feel unstoppable, and you are unstoppable in that moment. And then you level up, and then you start getting your ass kicked again,
and then
you start developing, and then you start kicking ass again, and then you know you keep going up. And then when you get to the professional ranks, I didn't feel like that ever for the first 2 years of my career. And I've talked about the story before, where the whole reason why I think I'm the only reason I'm sitting here is because I went through that shitty time after my second year where I led the NFL and dropped passes. It was bad. Look at the Hall of Fame speech if you want to know more about that.
Speech.
But that was kind of my transformation power of crisis, you know, as the quote goes.
You led the NFL and dropped passes.
Led the NFL and dropped passes.
Do you remember how many it was?
16. Oh, yeah. I remember. 16. They wouldn't let me forget. And then I remember my offensive coordinator named Jimmy Ray, who's amazing, a great guy. But that year, he was in front of the whole team. He goes, Tony Gonzalez, You've dropped 16 balls this year, and you've probably led to 32 missed opportunities for this whole team or something like that. He's like, you got to step it up. And that was kind of, you know, that was deep into my depression during that year.
In front of everyone.
In front of everybody. In front of everybody.
That's amazing.
And that's the thing about sports that is so great. It doesn't matter what sport you play, but you are on full blast. Whether I don't care if you're in Pop Warner or high school, it doesn't matter what level. You can be on your rec team at your local YMCA.
Yep.
It doesn't lie. I mean,
you drop a ball, everyone
drop
sees
the ball, that's you. And so it's embarrassing if you're the type of person. I mean, there's guys you can call out and they can be like, I don't give a shit. But for me, it meant something to me because I really wanted to be good at it. But I was in the wrong place. I was in my head. And I was working my ass off. I was working hard, and I was logical about my approach. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go 5 steps and then cut it in and cut it out. But you can't play that way. I mean, when the ball snapped, I think just like anything, when you were playing that game and you had 418 yards, you're not thinking about the next play. You're not thinking about the last play. You're not thinking about what the crowd thinks. You're not thinking about your steps. It's like you're just going. You're just going. And for me, over the years, I learned how to put myself in that zone, in that flow, where I could get there pretty quickly when I needed to. Now, I mean, you're going to have bad games, but you'll be consistent if you can get into that state. And that's one of the proudest things that I am of my career, is that I was able to stay. I was consistent. I think that's the hallmark of greatness, is consistency.
Yeah, you missed like 2 games your whole career.
Yeah, missed 2 games. But even when I played, like, you can count on me that I'm going to catch probably around
8 balls,
75 to 85 balls a year. Yeah. I'm going to have close to 1,000 yards. I'm going to have almost 10 touchdowns. It's year in and year out. And consistent. I knew that no matter what, that's what I was going to bring. It's because I was able to get myself into that mental and that heart connection. Mm. You know, that's what you have to connect.
How do you get into that after the 2 years of dropping everything and being humiliated in front of the team and feeling disconnected? How do you get connected to the heart after that in an industry that is all about ego?
Well, I think sometimes, at least for me, and you've probably noticed this more than me because you've been at this game where you're interviewing these movers and shakers. Majority of people, they have that story of just depression, that story of like it all went to shit for me. And where, you know, you stop believing in yourself and you suck and you're just not good, where it can bring you to your knees.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. I was brought to my knees. Where
literally,
I was on the bottom.
Or figuratively.
Literally, where, I mean, there's clips of me dropping another ball and just hitting the earth, the grass, out of frustration. And I would go home that night and I would be crying in my room, drinking a bunch of alcohol and crying and just spiraling out of control. And a lot of people, maybe they go through it differently, but I think that's part of the process. I mean, that's part of you coming face to face with who you really are. And what are you going to do about it now? And I think from there, that's how you learn. At least that created a real hunger for me to go out and actually study the great ones, you know, study the people that have had great success, because it leaves clues. I don't know who quoted that. That's not my original. Success leaves clues.
Right.
But whoever said that, it's wise, because the formula for success is there. But we all have these stories that you can, I'll come in here and I can tell you my story. There's underlying, like there's always stories of jealousy. There's stories of, okay, I'm not good enough. There's stories of I don't have what it takes, and the self-doubt and all that, and envy and all that stuff wrapped up in different stories. And that's just mine. And I was able to start reading books, reading about people's lives, biographies. Then you start reading Mind, Body, and Spirit. Those are the type of books I like to read. And then learn from that. And then you start learning how to use vision. You know, close your eyes. That's really been, that helped me a lot. Was just getting to where every morning and every night kind of the first thought on my brain was, okay, how am I going to get better at what I do? Maybe that's a feeling of love too, of like, I love playing football. I don't love practicing per se, but I love catching footballs. And I fell in love with that. And I fell in love with the process of what it takes to be great. I came up with this routine of success. I called it that. That was my routine of success. And I did the numbers. I wish I had them. I should have brought them. But just to put it in perspective, because I fell in love with the sport, because if you're not in love with what you do, you're going to have to use a lot of discipline. And I always say, if you love what you do, the need for discipline will disappear. Discipline is great in a lot of areas of life, and you need it. But when it comes to what you are doing for a living,
you want to be excited.
You want to be like, okay, yeah, it's a grind, and I'm working my ass off, but where else would I rather be? And so I went from catching maybe 30 balls a practice, which as a receiver, you know this. Most guys go out there, they'll catch about 10 balls to warm up. And then throughout practice, as a starter, if you're one of the main guys who catches balls on the team, you'll catch 7 balls at the most during practice. At the most.
The play doesn't fall apart if everything goes your way.
We're talking 7-on-7. You're not catching anything 9-on-7. Like, you don't catch that many balls. And then after practice, everybody goes in. So I'm catching maybe 30 balls, like the rest of the NFL does. Believe it or not, that's all they catch a day. Where I said, you know what? I got to come up with a different routine. Because Michael Jordan does this. Michael Jordan gets 1,000 shots. You know, Kobe Bryant gets 3,000 makes. Makes, not shots. Makes.
3,000 makes a day?
That's something crazy, right?
Wow.
You want to be like Jerry Rice. This is what I started studying Jerry Rice's routine.
That's
like
a freak.
I'm like, holy shit, these guys are putting in overtime. But you have to love what you do in order to do that. Otherwise, you'll quit. You'll do it. I've had guys that watch me and they're like, oh, I want to do what you do. And they quit. They'll do it for about 2-3 weeks. It's because they haven't fallen in love with some aspect of the game. And if you don't do that, you won't do it. So I caught 30 balls. I went from catching 30 balls a day to now catching probably 300 balls a practice. And you add that up. And the difference, I did it over my career. I remember this number. It's somewhere around this number. If after that third year, so 15 years, I played 17 years. After that, going from my third year to the end of my career, if I would have kept doing the routine that I did before, I would have caught 20,000 balls over my career. That's including practice and then games or whatever. Who knows?
30 balls a day.
At 30 balls a day. The way I did it now, since I'm catching 300 over the 4 days a week or whatever it is, I have the numbers. So if people out there are like, all right, that math doesn't add up. Math's not my strong suit. But I did it. It was like 245,000 balls I've caught. So you just do the math, $20,000 to $240,000 balls caught over a 15-year span.
Wow.
That's what will make you a Hall of Famer. But let's not fool ourselves. You won't do that if you're not in love with your sport and you're not doing the vision, the confidence, closing your eyes, putting yourself in that game speed, that smell of the grass, looking up at the crowd. Seeing the happiness from my coaches. Like, I would do this before I even played the game. I do this with my kids now. I have 4 kids. And I do guided meditations, and I've seen a result. Like,
it's amazing.
It changes everything when you play the game in your head before you go out there. But it has to come from your heart. And I try to open my heart when I do these visionary exercises or meditations or whatever you want to call it, because that's the most powerful thing on your body. That's what your coach always says. Get your head out of your ass and get out of your mind. You're too in your mind and play with heart. Yeah, play and that's what heart. That means. And that's when you can get to that point, and there's plenty of ways to do it. I have my ways, and it, like, everything takes off.
Yeah.
Everything takes off.
Do you think you'd be in a Hall of Famer if you just stuck to 30 balls a day?
No.
Because people would say, well, you're so talented. You're 6'5". You're 250 pounds. You've got the natural athletic ability. You don't think you would have made it?
No. Well, judging off that year, I mean, I dropped all those balls doing it that way. And like I said, let's not mistake. Don't act like I wasn't that guy who was out partying and chasing girls and stuff like that. I mean, I did a little bit of that, but I was in control. It wasn't disciplined. You were showing up. It wasn't because I wasn't working hard. I worked hard as soon as practice started. You know, for that 2 hours, I'd go out there and bust my ass just like the rest of the guys on the team. But I didn't do anything before that, and I didn't do anything after that. It was like, that was it, and then I'd go home, and I'd be back in my regular space, where you can't do that. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, it might get you in the league. It's not going to help you excel in your league, whatever industry or business you're in.
Whatever industry or business, talent is, they say it, talent is overrated. And it really is. Don't get me wrong. You need some talent and pick what you're good at. But if you want to be an excellent, you want to be a mover and shaker, you want to be somebody that has a legacy at what you do, if that's important to you, this is the way to do it.
When, after that third year, when did you face the most self-doubt?
Honestly, after that, self-doubt never got in again.
Wow. Really?
Never on the football field. Like I said, I was gonna go out there. It was all routine now.
And big games, Monday night games, playoff, nothing.
Never, ever, ever. In fact, the bigger the game, the more honed in I got. My better games came when the stage got brighter and bigger. In fact, you'll go from a point where now when the games you're supposed to win, the competition's not as high. That's what you have to concentrate on.
Oh yeah, because you bring your game down.
Yeah, you don't want to bring your game down. You have to excel. Yeah. And I think it's all routine and just that. Michael Jordan, Kobe, Richard Branson, Michael Jackson. He was another. I mean, I could show you clips from Michael Jackson where he's like, I don't know where it comes from. He'll tell you. And that's how it is. You feel like that as an athlete. Like, you're just out there in that flow. It's just flowing through you. And I remember Michael Jackson, they were interviewing some of his dancers. And they were talking about how he prepares for each show. And they were saying how Mike at two, they would rehearse until 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. They'd start around 6 o'clock at night and go till 2, 3 in the morning. The same routine, over and over. And then they know they got it. And then Michael back, come on, man, let's just do one more. Let's just do one more. And I remember going, wow.
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. When you get a new car or a new home, your first reaction might be to say things like, oh yeah, or I can't believe it, or booyah. But what you really want to say is the one thing that can get you the help you need. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm is there with the coverage you need for your car, your home, and even boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things that matter to you. With a State Farm agent, you know someone is there to help you choose the coverage you need. With so many coverage options, it feels good knowing you can find what fits for you. And when you need ways to get help, State Farm gives you options there too, in person or on the phone with your local agent, or on statefarm.com, where their award-winning app State Farm lets you do things your way. So when you need help protecting the things that matter most, remember to say, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey there, Brenda.
It's Carol.
Exactly. So which leg are we operating on?
You mean arm?
It's all connected.
Asking the right question can greatly impact your future.
Are you sure you're an orthopedist?
Actually, I'm a Sagittarius.
Especially when it comes to your finances.
Do you have a question?
Are you a certified financial planner?
Yes, I'm a CFP professional.
CFP professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
And Michael even explained it. He's all, you love it. Like, this is, now you are, and the hard part is finding that passion, finding that love. But I believe, especially for young people, if you just got to keep putting your head out there and be willing to get it chopped off, because it's gonna come. I wrote a letter to my kids at the Hall of Fame that the critics are coming, the pain is coming. You have to go through that. That's where beauty is, or the fear. And I always talk about that. Like, life takes off on the other side of fear, and you have to be willing to sit there in it and ride that wave.
Yeah. When you started to get it criticized a lot for maybe those first few years, and I'm sure you got criticized from the next 15 years after that for certain things, how did you face the judgment, the critiques, the, you know, he's washed up or whatever. They, yeah, you know, different ages, you know.
I love it. I mean, that's all fuel. When people tell you that you can't do something, for me, the way you take that is say, okay, well, I guess I got to show you that I can do it. And when that self-doubt comes, I got into a good place, a good rhythm, where for football, that doesn't matter. Now, and I'm sure we'll get to it. Now, the transition after I get done playing, that's where all that self-doubt comes back, and that fear comes back, and the anxiety. It came back to me.
Did you feel that right after you retired?
You feel that, yeah, right after you retire. And I had a job. I went straight into working for CBS, being on national television, the main desk that every job that every player who wants to do television wants. But I had to go through the same thing again. I got beat to my knees again.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
How so?
I remember I was, after my third year working for CBS, and I loved it over there.
Seeing a theme here. 3 years.
Yeah, it's funny. Three. It's funny. The same thing when I was younger, too. 2 years of Pop Warner football and finally took off my third year in freshman. Three. But I was, I made the transition. I'm working for CBS. I'm on the main desk. My contract is coming up, and I loved working there. It was shot out in New York, but I did not like getting on the plane, going back and forth. And even more than that, I wasn't giving them everything that I could give them. Not because I wasn't trying either. I was trying.
Meaning
I was working
what?
My ass off.
What weren't you
giving? Meaning I wasn't coming from a place of in my heart. I wasn't like on the football field. That flow never happened for me when I was over at CBS.
It was kind of a little bit forced here and there.
It was forced. Yeah. Oh, it was in my head the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, hey, well, if I say this joke here and I punch it with this word, then it's going to get a laugh. Or when I am talking about, you know, Rob Gronkowski running his routes, I'm going to talk about it from this angle, and you can do all that. But if it's not here, it comes off as rehearsed. It's not a good performance.
Yeah.
You're performing, it's just not good. And it doesn't feel good to me. That sucks. I was having anxiety before shows.
Wow.
Nervous. And I don't want to feel that way. I mean, don't get me wrong. You're going to have that excitedness. I mean, you need to have a little bit. That helps you run faster. That helps you perform better. You want a little butterflies. But mine was from fear. I was so scared that I was going to screw up every time. And scared of showing who I really am. Because what if that's not good enough? And so you work your ass off trying to do it funny or to do it without stuttering or whatever it is. I mean, and a lot of guys struggle. Just watch players that make that transition to TV. It is hard because you have to show who you are. You have to put everything out there, just like you're on a football field, just like I'm talking to you right now, whatever. I don't care if you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, or you're a construction worker. It's hard to let everybody see who you really are.
It's even harder because it's your singular voice and you on camera, maybe with one or two other guys or girls, as opposed to a whole team, you know, 20-something people on a field being criticized. You can't hide as much.
Can't.
On camera, right?
No, you can't at all. They're
you
picking
can't
up
hide
everything.
Your voice, yeah.
You can't.
You don't have to speak on the field, but you just use your talents.
And that's where a lot of people, it's like, well, on the football field, I can just be physical. But here, I got to use my mind now, and you want it to be entertaining, and you want to say something good and something profound. But that talk right there, it's like, shut up. Just shut up and go, and just speak, just talk. You know this game. And that's what I would tell all these guys. And they gave me this guy that I had to work with. I'm not going to say his name, but it just wasn't for me because it just puts you more in your head. And maybe you have to go through that. But I remember it hit me. I was sitting, we're on vacation in Spain, just me and my wife sitting in a courtyard in a cafe. She starts talking about the contract negotiations with CBS. And I'm almost done with my contract negotiation. And I'm going to negotiate another 3 years.
Wow.
But I kind of don't want to be there. And I never told her, I never told my management team or anybody else. And I'm sitting there and the wife's all, yeah, so you got to be pretty happy with it. It was a good deal they offered me. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then
good money, great deal, yeah.
And all of a sudden, this wave of just fear came over me. Like my body started getting cold and I started sweating, but at the same time sweating. And I had like I don't know if it's a nervous breakdown, but I was like, oh shit. And it was the feeling of fear, just like absolute fear. And the thought came into my head that, what if I peaked? What if the best of me is over? And that's a scary feeling to be in.
Yeah.
I did not like that. And I started crying. And she's like, "What's wrong with you?" In the middle of this pain. And when I'm not bawling or anything like that, but I started tearing up, and I'm like, and she's all, I just don't know. I have, over the last 3 years, I have not felt how I felt that aliveness, that excitement. I haven't felt it in 3 years.
Wow.
For what I do. Because, and this is a lot of football players go through this.
A lot of it, pro athletes. People transitioning into the next stage of life. Yeah.
Anybody transitioning. Yeah. Because I've talked about that. I've told that story before in front of groups. And after the show, I've had men come up to me with tears in their eyes. And they're like, "I've felt that same way. I had a company that it was successful for 10 years. And then I made the transition out because I wanted something new."
Even if you sell a company for $100 million or whatever, it's like, now what?
Where do you, and how do you get back? And then you doubt yourself. You're like, I'll never be great again like I was on the football. And obviously I had a great career. It's like a Hall of Fame career. And you're like, so now I never get to experience that again. And I'm 40 years old at this time. And I'm like, I got 40 more years to live, 50 more years to live. And I'm going to be talking about football games, talking about old, like
30 years from now. Yeah.
It was
glory days.
It was a scary feeling. But I'm glad that happened, because off of that, I called up my manager, Constance Schwartz. And I called up my agent, my television agent, Jim Ornstein. And I said, "Hey guys, I think I don't want to," they're like, "Yeah, it's a good deal. We're good. We've been negotiating back and forth. It's over." And they're like, I think I'm having second thoughts. I don't want to do it. And they were both like, "Shut up." Yeah. Right. Right. My agent was like, "This is a mistake. I mean, these jobs don't come along, and you're not going to get a job at Fox. I mean, that's Terry Bradshaw, Howie Long, and Jimmy and
Strahan.
Yeah. Like, there's no room over there. And I mean, what are you going to do?" And I said, "I don't know, but I can't not do this. I cannot live like this. I'm so tired of being afraid when I'm on air. I'm tired of being away from my kids, because that was getting to me, you know, flying back and forth to New York for 26 weeks a year from LA. That's a long hike." Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm out. I don't know what we're going to do, but I got it. Something's going to work. And that really changed my life. That was like another pinnacle moment in my life, that I could either go this way or I can go that way. And I was like, I'm going that way. I'm going to go to the road that I don't want the sure thing. You know, I had people close to me, the loved ones, are like, are you a fool? Like, you can't walk away from that. And I'm like, well, something's going to work. And that's where the phrase "life takes off on the other side of fear." I was like, I am afraid right now. There's no doubt about it. This is scary. But I believe that's where the good stuff is. That's where the gold is. That's where the diamonds are made. That's where you will achieve greatness, if you go up to what you're afraid of, but you know in your heart you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you go anyway. I'm not talking about skydiving, if that scares the shit out of you and you're like, I don't want to, but that's not in your heart anyway. You don't want to do that and it scares you. I'm talking about the stuff that you want to do, but you're scared to do, but you feel it. That's where you got to go. And that's where you got to have the cojones, or whatever you want to call it, the motzi, the balls, whatever you want to call it. You got to have that and go through that. And there's steps out there, and there's people that will help you if you just ask for help. And there's books. And there's School of Greatness podcast. There's Wide Open,
baby.
My podcast. It's all over the place. It's all around you. And the only thing that's stopping you is that fear. And just go for it, because that's where the beauty is.
You know, I love that story. And I think it's so hard. I think people understand that there's going to be challenges and fear that they're going to have to face to have what they want. But I don't think they're willing to be that embarrassed or emotionally like insecure through being dropped to their knees, because either way, you've got to drop to your knees.
Yeah.
You've got to fail. You've got to look like an idiot, or, you know, make fun of yourself, or something's got to happen where you don't look good.
Yeah.
When you go after the thing you want, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to not look good. People are going to make fun of you. They're going to criticize you.
People, and sometimes the people that are criticizing you are your closest relatives, your loved ones, your husband, your wife. It's just, and it's done out of love too. They're like looking out for you.
So how do people manage that emotionally, internally, knowing that they're going to face criticism, judgment, embarrassment, and being laughed at when they go after what they really want?
The greatest thing is to understand that it is coming. So you're not shocked.
Yeah.
Okay. Just know that those roadblocks are coming, and embrace it. And that's where I always say, close your eyes, calm your breathing down. Mm. This is what I did on the football field. And this is what has dawned on me over the last couple of weeks is you already know how to do this, at least for me.
Yeah.
And if you haven't learned, this is a great technique for me, is you close your eyes, slow your breathing down, relax every part of your body, do it one at a time. And then you open your heart up and you say that, I am opening my heart. Because when you're in your heart, there is no fear of judgment. There is purpose. There is authenticity. Time will stand still when you're in your heart. And now you've opened up your heart now. Say it's love, peace, joy, just whatever you, that's what that means to me. There, and that's unshakable confidence in there too. And then you put in the vision of whatever it is that you want to do. See the highest version of yourself. See yourself dominating at what you do. See yourself in the moment saying the greatest thing that needs to be said if you're a person who's a personality on TV or whatever it is, or making the great business deal.
Or making the catch.
And see the happiness that gives you, the happiness that gives the people around you. See yourself enjoying every aspect, the highest version of yourself, the greatest version of yourself. And to me, that takes, first of all, that can take 5 minutes or 20 minutes, whatever you want to do. But at least, the very least, it only takes 5 minutes. It's a great way to calm yourself and breathe. When you breathe slowly, deep breaths, you send a message of calmness to your body. When you're breathing fast and out of control, that's why I look at, you know, teammates and all that stuff. It's like, whew, just watch Tom Brady in the fourth quarter's on.
He's relaxed.
They call it poise, whatever it is. And the what poise means, to stand in the pocket, he's just breathing slowly and he's calm and he's fearless in that moment. And that's what you have to have. You have to be fearless. And it's, who cares what people think? Tell yourself that I got what it takes. I got this. Over and over and over again. Repetition. And they're proving this now with studies, meditation clinics. Like, self-talk is huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. And it works wonders. And then go out there and learn from the greats. Like I said, just YouTube it.
That's it, man. It's so much easier now to learn these things because it's so available than when you were growing up, probably, right? I remember I had like one CD from some weird like doctor or psychologist that no one was really studying. And I was just like grabbing onto anything I could find. But now that stuff's everywhere and it's accessible. Everywhere.
Yeah.
But there's much more judgment and criticism than ever because everyone's online with a voice.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone can judge you online now as opposed to just at your school or in your company or at your work or something.
But my thing is, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. But how do people get to a place of not caring?
That's a practice. Because
a lot of people care about what other people, how they judge them.
I was that person too. I've been that person.
So how did you get from caring to not caring?
And those are the people that are in their head, and that's me. I'm an in the head type guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to get out of your head. And like we said, the coach says, play with your heart. But, and that's what that means. You know, I mean, you're seeing a theme now from me talking about this. But if you're a person who's in your head, you have to work now. And just like anything else, it's like catching a football or doing a jump shot or doing a presentation. The more you do it, experience is going to make you better. But the way you accelerate that experience into knowledge and wisdom is by letting go of what people think. And letting go of what you think, like really trying to put yourself in that flow, in that spirit of calmness. That's how you do it, and it takes time. You're not gonna, more than likely, there's people that have that, you know, that overnight realization. They call that the transformative power of Christ. It's going to back. I read a great book a long time ago, and you can get there. You can do it. Maybe you can do it in one night with. People talk about psychedelics.
Yeah.
You can talk about journeys. You talk about ayahuasca. You can talk about psilocybin.
Deep meditation.
Stuff, yeah. You can do it. Rhythmic dancing, rhythmic breathing. There's places to.
Chanting, whatever. Sweat lodges.
Sweat lodges, all that stuff. And there's ways to do it. But ultimately, I think if you set the goal, you write it down. I believe in writing down all my stuff. And you see it every day. You read from that every day. You give yourself a blueprint for success that you wrote to yourself. I used to write letters to myself the night before games.
Oh, that's big.
I used to write a whole letter, like, you're here, they're doubting you. When I used to write, you're getting old, you know they're going to be ready for you. You know you're going to have to be double teams tomorrow, but you got this because you're one of the greatest. And you're one of the greatest that's ever lived ever to make this game.
Give me chills now. Let's go.
and so I'm writing this to myself. Mm. This is from me to me. Mm-hmm.
Would you read it later, or would you just...
I'd read it. It would be on my notes for the week. So sometimes I'd write that at the beginning of the week when we get in there on Wednesday morning, and I'd read it all week. And I would be like, I want 6 catches. I want 2 touchdowns. I want 125 yards or whatever it is. That's my goal. If I don't get it, I don't care.
Right.
But that's what I'm going for.
That's where your focus is.
And I want to grade out 90%. So I do believe that when it comes to abundance training or greatness training, whatever it is, write where you want to be. Write out what your goals are. And then when you hit those goals, then it's time to reset it, baby. Let's go. Let's keep climbing. Let's keep leveling up. And let's keep, and in every aspect of your life. It's not just work. I mean, that's just a piece of the pie. It's a good piece.
Right.
But you got to do that with your relationships. And that's where I've missed the mark too before. You know, you got to do that with your kids. You got to do that with just strangers on the street, just looking people in the eye and connecting. It's so much more fun to be there. And the only reason you're not doing it, the only reason you're not doing it is because you're afraid of something. You're afraid to talk to the neighbor, or you're afraid to open yourself up to people. But the way you get out of that, if you want to get out of that, some people might be comfortable where they are. And go ahead. If that's comfortable where you're at, as long as you're not hurting anybody, I don't have a problem with you. But if you do want to get out of that, which I think most people do, that's how you do it. Just set the goal and then practice every single day. Practice with the person in the elevator. Say hello. You know, you want to put yourself in fearful situations and go through it. Just keep putting yourself in those fearful situations and you'll keep leveling up. I promise you. There's no doubt in my mind. It's already been proven.
I know. I'm writing a new book about eliminating self-doubt. Mm-hmm. And I think self-doubt comes from people that aren't willing to put themselves through enough fear. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, you're saying everything that I'm talking about in my book, where I tell people to give yourself a 30-day challenge of whatever the thing you're most embarrassed or insecure about, and do that thing every day. Whether it is talking to the person in the elevator every day or talking to a stranger you would never talk to, but you got to do it over and over until the fear disappears.
Disappears. Like anything else? It's a jump shot.
That's it, man.
It's a jump shot.
And when you get past that fear, you go to the next one.
Yep.
And you just keep doing it. And you become kind of bulletproof the more of those fears that you overcome.
Yeah.
I think that's the key.
I jumped out of a plane.
That's scary.
Last year.
Yeah.
Was that last year?
Maybe I'll wait till I'm 40 or something to do that.
Do you want to do it, though?
I don't care to do it.
Okay. Well, then you probably shouldn't do it. But for me, I've always wanted to jump out of a plane. I wanted to do a parachute. But I was scared shitless of it.
Yeah.
What if it doesn't open? You know? And so I finally did it. The opportunity came up. And I was like...
Were you terrified?
I was... At first, I said no. And then I thought about it. I said, you know what? I got to do this. Yeah, I could die, but more likely I'm not going to.
Sure.
But anyway, long story short, you're flying up there. The hardest part about jumping out of a plane is you're scared the whole time. You're nervous and anxiety and all that stuff. But when you're up at 13,000 feet, whatever it is, and then they open that door.
Oh, my gosh, man.
And it's crazy. You're like, I'm about to jump out of a damn plane. Like, this is about to happen.
Wow.
And you're scared. My heart was going so fast. And I was the first one out.
Oh, man.
Which I'm glad.
That's good. Like, I don't watch other people be like, waiting. Send me back down.
Send me back down. And I was like, screw it. Let's go. And you jump out. And by the way, when you do go through that fear, you always find out that it's not as bad as you thought it was going to be. And the cool thing of that, I did it with the Golden Knights, which are experts at this.
All right.
And they're jumping, and some guy jumps out, and he's videotaping you, and he's looking the whole time, and he starts doing this. He's like, yeah, 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 yeah. And I'm like, you're right, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm enjoying it, and I'm jumping out. But when I got to the bottom of that, when I landed and I got on the earth, safe and sound, something clicked in me that I was like, I got this. Because this, I've been wanting to do this my whole life, and I was scared to do this. And I did it, and it really changed my life. Like, yeah. I was like, I think everybody
needs to jump out of a plane.
Mandatory. Do you have to jump out of a plane? You talk about facing your fear. Most people are probably scared to do that, but it was exhilarating. It was awesome. Would I do it again? Maybe.
Hey there, Brenda.
It's Carol.
Exactly. So which leg are we operating on?
You mean arm?
It's all connected.
Asking the right question can greatly impact your future.
Are you sure you're an orthopedist?
Actually, I'm a Sagittarius.
Especially when it comes to your finances.
Do you have a question?
Are you a certified financial planner?
Yes, I'm a CFP professional.
CFP professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'll tell you right now, probably not, but because I already did it once.
Yeah.
But maybe I'd do it again. I'm telling you.
What opened up for you after that? What changed?
I felt like I could do anything. I remember I walked in the room with all the guys because we did it at Air Force Base. It was for Fox. And I remember they're like, how was it? And Michael Strahan.
Did he went with you?
No, he didn't go. He said he couldn't go. He said he wanted to go, but he couldn't go. And I said, man, I feel like I can do anything. I feel like I can do anything. And he's like, all right, do a backflip. And I'm like, well, that doesn't count because I don't want to do a backflip.
Right. Anything you want to do.
But I mean, like you really feel I can accomplish anything because that's all it is. Like I said, and that's why I add whatever you're afraid of, but you want to do. You feel like a calling to do it, but you're afraid to do it. That's life giving you that clue.
Mm-hmm.
That's the little push right there.
That's where you should go.
That's where you belong, whether it's starting a new business, whether it's quitting your job and saying, you know what, I've been there for 7-8 years and I'm getting a little tired of it. I would love to go over to this to do this for a living, but I'm scared because I got the family and I know there's good excuses.
Of course. I got kids, I got this, or that.
Got the family, that would be irresponsible of me. But I'm telling you, I do believe that you need to make a plan.
Yeah.
Because you'll be so proud of yourself. And there is that danger of it not working.
Yeah.
But imagine the feeling. Just see yourself, see it working for you. And that might not be what you ultimately want. I wanted to be an actor, when I first got done playing.
Right.
And you talk about humiliating. Try auditioning.
Oh, man. You know, you get rejected over and over,
over
again.
Over and over. Over and over again. That brought me to my knees. That was another where literally I was like, oh, this hurts.
Yeah. Because you're so used to being the man, the guy.
Yeah.
The stud, the all-star, the all-pro, whatever. But now they're just like, okay, you're one of 100 coming through audition, and we don't care.
And the way to get good at it.
And your name isn't good enough for us.
Yeah, they don't care about your name. Tony Gonzalez, who cares?
Yeah.
We got to make money on this movie, and if you suck. And so that's another lesson that it taught me, that you have to get out of your head, because I was one of those guys, I'd study the script and I'd look at it and I'd go over and I'd be like, okay, well, when it says legends, I'm going to say legends, and this and this. And then you rehearse it. It's like giving a speech.
Yeah.
That's read. This is why I don't like reading speeches. People are like, for the Hall of Fame, they're like, hey, we need your speech. I'm like, well, too bad. I'm not reading.
It's
going to come from here. Because I believe when you can learn it, and you can perfect a performance. And I was doing that with acting. And then I'd go in there and I'd get crushed. Because the moment you miss that rehearsed, like you start getting in your head, you're like, well, I didn't say that right. That's not how, that didn't sound like that in rehearsal. And now
then
I'm
you
in
get
my
tight,
head.
You get even tighter.
You get tight.
Yeah.
Now you're thinking about that in the past instead of thinking about in the future, where true acting or true performing in anything, whether you're a doctor, whether you're a singer or athlete, the good stuff comes when you are completely in the moment and you're not thinking about the past or the future. I've already said this. And then the ad lib that comes off of that. When you're in the moment, if you get an impulse, you just go with it. That's what Leonardo DiCaprio
does. Improv, yeah.
Yeah, the improv. That's in football. It would be boring to watch. Okay, Tony, you're going to go 10 yards and turn out. And we want you to catch it. And then more than likely, they'll tackle you right there. I don't think fans would. They would be like, it's okay. Yeah, it's fun. Cool. But you want to see me, okay. When I got to the top of that route, the defender was waiting there. So I had to juke him up and come underneath. And you're not thinking this.
No, you're just reacting.
Some people, a lot of athletes do think this. And that's where they're not as good. But you're just reacting now. And then when you catch the ball, okay, now you got to move. And now you got to start ad-libbing. You got to start. That's where the beauty comes. And the people that can ad-lib the best are the people that are in their heart. And those are the ones that make the performance. That's Michael Jordan when he goes up for the dunk. He's like, uh-oh, you know what? I'm going to switch it and I'm going to put it right here now.
So clean.
And that's when we, as fans, are like, whoa. It's the ad-lib. The ad-lib where the magic happens.
That's true.
So that's you. And the only way you'll get there is if you're completely in the moment and you can train yourself to get into that flow.
Yeah. And that takes doing lots of reps over and over again.
Experience.
Yeah,
experience
lots
is the best
of
teacher.
Reps. Now, success leaves clues, you said, someone else said, but for me, that means that you had a lot of great insights growing up. There was someone or someones who taught you, and maybe it was coaches or teachers or parents, friends. Who was the most influential for you growing up? and what was the greatest lesson they taught you?
Okay, before I answer that, by the way, Jared Pobre, a buddy of mine who's a successful business, he's the one who told me success leaves clues.
Okay.
I'm having dinner with him tomorrow night. I'm going to go, where did you get that?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I copied you unknowingly, but, you know, sure. He said that. But the people that affected me the most is my mother. Probably she is the rock of my life. And the more I look at this woman, I see, you talk about an example of living with your heart. Because my mom doesn't, you know, she's not the most, how do I say this, scholastic person or whatever it is. I don't get me wrong, smart
academic.
Woman. Academic, yeah. That's a better word. But she is all this. You know, me growing up, I have three adopted brothers because of my mom's heart. Like, she brings people in. You know, I remember we moved around a lot. We didn't have a lot of money. We weren't poor. We just didn't have a lot of money. I think there's a difference there. I always felt like we were good,
mm-hmm.
Even though we were on welfare at times. But she is somebody that takes no shit from anybody. She stands up for what she believes in, and she'll love you fully, like the best hugs and kisses. She was like a, you know, masculine and female perfect into one woman. And so she is somebody that will tell me the truth always. From her, I'm not saying she's right either.
Right. Her truth.
People out there with moms know what I'm talking about. and you need somebody like that in your life. And so she's really, really helped me. And then my brother Chris, my older brother Chris, he's the one who got me started in football. I will say this, that we haven't had a relationship in 5 years, but doesn't take away the fact of what he did for me when I was younger. Really getting me in football and getting me into that mindset of what it takes to be great on a football field.
What was the best lesson that he taught you?
Really the consistency, I think, and the understanding that people are coming for you.
Mm.
And when you get on top, you know,
it's coming even more.
The tall poppy syndrome or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It's they're coming for you. And so you better make sure that you're taking care of business. Because you can't relax. Don't get me wrong, I went all over the world. And I went out and had fun, and I was single for a while, and I was doing all the things that single men do,
mm-hmm.
Unapologetically, you know, and having a good time. But at the same time, when it comes time to lock in, you know, it's an expression of football, lock in and lock out, you know, it's time to get to work. And so he really helped me out with that.
Yeah. And the greatest lesson your mom taught you was that?
I don't know if she ever, she's not the type to give you like, okay.
But what was the thing that you learned?
There's no singers.
Yeah, but what was maybe the lesson you learned from her experience or her way of being?
I think just really letting it hang out without caring. And really, it's come into picture for me lately.
Really? How so?
Really lately. Over the last few weeks, I've just had a couple realizations about stuff that I already knew. And stuff that I've done before, but really being cognizant of it. And I see that example a lot in my mom. I think she is so free. She does not care what anybody thinks. And she'll stand up for what she believes in. And I've been afraid to do that at times. I was afraid. We talked about what would I have changed or what I went through as a football player. One thing that I really wish that I could have done more of is not been so afraid to be a leader to my teammates. I could have been a better leader for them. I could have spoke up more. I could have helped my coaches out more.
Mm-hmm.
But the only reason I didn't do that is because I was afraid that nobody would even listen to me. It's kind of like me starting a podcast now, like where the reason I would never have wanted to do this before is because, like, who the hell am I? Or who am I to say to
get Tony Gonzalez, Hall of Famer, man.
I know.
Greatest tight end of all time.
It shows you how insecure I was with everything. And I was like this as a player. I mean, and that's probably, that also gave me an edge too.
To work harder.
To keep working harder and to keep proving everybody wrong. And it keeps going, I belong here. You know, you went to 5 Pro Bowls now. Well, I got to go to 6.
Wow.
Okay, 6. I got to go to 7. It just kept adding up. And then I got to 14.
You missed a few.
I missed a few.
You're not good enough.
Good enough.
What's the record of Pro Bowls?
That right there is tied. I had the most at the time when I retired, but I think Peyton has 14 as well, which is good company.
Amazing.
It's my mother really put that in me that you just need to. She just laughs. She dances. She can't dance. I can't dance. But she'll dance.
She doesn't care how she looks.
Me, I'll sit on the sideline. Mm. I used to. But now I'm getting to the point where, you know what? I'm going to go out there and dance. And yeah, you can make fun of me.
Who cares?
You can be like, yeah, you got all that ethnic blood in you, but you can't dance. I'm like, well, I catch football. But
yeah, that's true.
So that's what I mean. Like you, and you know what a movie that I'll use that has really hit home with me? I went and saw it with my kids a couple weeks ago. They had the remake of it. It's Lion King.
Oh, it's so good. It's remember such, who you are.
Remember who you are.
Let's go.
Simba, remember. And that's what it is. I think you have to remember you as that little kid because we all have this. I have four children. And when they're up, one's 18, the other one's 11, 9, and then we have a four-year-old. And she's still in that. When you have to remember who you are, she's still there. And you know when you're younger, you're honest. You can tell people, you know, when you're hungry. You can ask for help. You go to sleep when you're tired. You dance like nobody's watching. You sing like nobody's watching. There is no racism when you're a child. There is no, the emotions come and they go. They filter through you. So we're not saying you're going to cut off emotions, but they come right through you when you're a child. And you have to remember that. And remember what is, and when you can combine that with your life experience, and by the way, you're going to get broken. You have to go through those broken stages. That's what adolescence and teenage and all that stuff is about and starting out new. But in the end, that's why I love getting older now. Somebody was complaining to me. She was turning 28, Toby, my wife's sister. And I was like, 28? Like, it is so much better because now you're combining that experience. Life, that life experience. And if you can remember who you are, that fearless kid who used to jump off the top of a roof, used to say hello to everybody. Like I said, dance and sing and play and talk to everybody and be free. That's where your life is. It's like, so Lion King has been great to me.
Wow.
And just remembering who I am. I write that on top of my journal. It's remember who you are. And what is that though? And write that down. Write
who are you?
Who is that?
Who are you?
And for me, that's fearless. That's, to me, it's, and it changes. It keeps changing and it should keep changing. It keeps evolving, just like everything else in this world. The world keeps evolving. You know, the continents shift, and there's cycles, and there's rain, there's sun,
seasons. Yeah,
there's seasons. You always keep changing, and that's me. And I'm fearless. I have an open heart. I'm loving. I'm not afraid to connect to people. I'm not afraid to be me. I'm not afraid to dance anymore. I'm not afraid to sing.
Yes, sir. Salsa dancing with me.
Salsa dancing. I'll do it. And going after what I truly want in life and that I want to do. Like I said, that's the formula for me is not being afraid to go after what's in my heart.
What's missing in your life?
Right now, honestly, I'm feeling really good.
Yeah.
You know, wife, kids, family, but I have my goals, you know? Yeah. So, but I don't count that as missing because I'm enjoying the process and It's coming. I look at these goals and I know they're going to come. And if it's not that, it's going to be something even better.
Right. How long have you been married for?
12 years.
12 years.
15 years together.
You're 15 years together. Do you think you would have had as successful a career without being married?
I don't know.
Say if you were single the whole time or just, you know, dating different people.
Yeah,
or
I think so. I think
you still have the same career, you think?
Well, because I was on my way to that anyway before I met her. I was single 10 years. My first 10 years in the NFL, I mean, I was married the last 7. And I did have a child, the older one, from a previous relationship. And he lived out in California while I played in Kansas City. I'm still very close to him, obviously. He's probably my son. But I was out there living La Vida Loca off the field and enjoying myself.
Right.
So, yeah, I think I could have been able to do that. But there is something about that I've noticed, too. And I would love somebody to do the research on this. When you fall in love, you know, like everything gets greater, right? The sky's blue and the colors and everything. Everybody's in a good mood and all this good stuff. And then guys play better. I've seen guys that when they're in love, like their game gets better.
Wow.
Or they have a child, their game gets better.
Why do you think they play better when they're in love?
I think because
that is in their heart.
I'm telling you, I've been thinking about this.
Wow.
That there is a reason that these guys excel when you're there. Because I told you there's no fear of judgment when you're there.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in love, you'll tell everybody, I just want to shout it from the rooftops.
I know, right?
You just don't care.
Don't care.
And so, yeah, I think my wife has absolutely helped me become a better person in other aspects of my life. In football, I kind of figured that out because I was in love with football.
You were good.
I was in love, already in love. I didn't, it's funny how some guys need that to help approach their football. But for me, I think just like if you said Kobe or Jordan or Tiger Woods or whatever, I mean, I think they would have been fine if they never got married. It's just those guys are assassins and they figured out how to
machines
put everything out. And I feel like I'm in that same boat. I consider myself one of them.
Yeah,
because when I was on that field, nothing else is there. It's just complete time stands still.
What's the greatest lesson your wife's taught you about yourself, about life, about...
Same thing. You know, they always say you marry your mother, and my wife is absolutely in her heart.
Mm.
And I love that about her.
She's got a big heart.
She's got a huge heart, and that's why everybody loves her. That's why, you know, she's doing a podcast called Keep On. And that's... She's so raw, genuinely cares about you. When she's talking to you, she genuinely cares about you because she's interested. She's one of those, you know, they talk about, are you an introvert or you're an extrovert? And I'm an introvert. That's all there is to it. Like when I leave a party or whatever it is, I get tired.
Yeah.
Because I'm in there and I'm trying to get to the point where she is, because she leaves these things and goes, all right, where are we going now? You know, because she draws energy from people because she loves people. And so she's also taught me it's not about where you come from, because her life was a tough one. I mean, her mom died of a heroin overdose when she was younger. And so you can get caught up by looking at her because she's beautiful and go, oh, she's one of those pretty girls, football player wise. But it's not that at all. She's got some deep stuff going on in there because she's been through a lot. I don't know if that's why. And it doesn't mean that, you know, just because she didn't meet her dad until she was 9.
Mm.
You know, they were on welfare, you know, cops being called, like she's gone through a lot. And that was one of the things that stood out for me, that she can still have this great personality and this unbelievable ability to connect with everybody. She's my secret weapon. I'm like, I want to bring.
She'll go do the work for you. Yeah.
Hey, Toby, you got to come with me to this because they're going to love her.
Yeah.
Because she's so open and so nice. And that's what I try to emulate. She's kind of a hero for me
when it
comes to that.
Wow. That's cool. What do you want your kids to say about you when you're long gone?
I wonder what they will say. They're probably going to say he lectured a lot. That's what my 18-year-old says. Another lecture. Here we go.
What do you want them to say?
I want them to say that, I believe this with children too, that it's more about how you conduct yourself. It is. I mean, it's proven now that I can sit there and talk to them until I'm blue in the face. That's why I don't believe people say, don't do as I do as I say.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't care because I've made all the mistakes. So now, dude, even though I'm still screwing up, it's like, well, kids aren't going to listen to you and people aren't going to listen to you.
They're going to follow your actions.
They want to follow your actions. And so my kids, hopefully I've been that good example for them. And I think they will. Like, they'll see a good example of how to live. And nobody's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, you know, what the future holds for me. I'm fine.
Yeah.
But I think they'll definitely say that this guy was somebody who kept trying to level up. You never ever want to be, there's no status quo.
Yeah.
I want to keep, either you're getting better or you're getting worse to me. And you look around nature and all that stuff, it's constantly moving. And you constantly have to keep searching. I think curious. I hope they say that he was a curious man and followed that curiosity until he found an answer.
Wow.
And that's what I want from them. Because that'll take you a long way. If you're number one, Tom Bill, you came on my podcast, and he's talked about it before, but he said, if anything, I am a learner. And I love his explanation of why, because you can't screw with him. You can't f*** with him anymore when somebody says I'm a learner. Because if you tell me I suck or I'm not good, you can be like, okay, great. You think that, but tell me how I'm going to get better. Or tell me what to do so I can go learn to get better.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. Like, and I was like, I agree with you. I'm curious. So, except I wasn't as evolved as him. Sometimes you could hurt my feelings back in the day. But I am getting to the point where it's like, all right, you can say whatever the hell you want. I'm going to keep getting better and I'm going to keep trying. And so that I want my children to be curious. But I know they got to get broke.
You got to have some.
All the parents out there, just understand.
I mean, the hardest thing is being like, I don't know what the quote is, but it's like, you never want your kids to grow up with like wealthy parents.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because they're always kind of given things. It's probably gonna be the hardest thing to like make sure that they work hard.
I tell my kids that though. I tell them, I go, you guys are rich. You guys got cash.
Yeah, you got cash.
Okay. We're not
in a nice house.
We're not billionaires and like right, that, right. But you guys got
taken care of. Yeah.
And people are gonna doubt you because your last name, first of all, they're gonna compare you because of your last name. Second of all, they're gonna think you're just rich and you got it all. I feel bad for all those kids. I mean, that of
when it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Of successful people.
It's tough if you're poor. It's tough if you're, I mean, it's, there's tough. A challenge either way.
But that's,
there's I different agree. Challenges.
I agree.
You and might have a nicer home and nicer food and this and that, but there's different mental and emotional challenge.
Yes. And that's your, and it's just going to be your path.
That's
okay.
Your path.
If it's not one thing, it's going to be another thing because you're a human being. And that's why we're all down here is to have this human experience. And you're going to have to get broke and you have to get cracked apart. It's seasonal. Just like life is, as above, so below.
It'll pass.
Stuff. It'll pass.
Eventually.
And the sun's going to come out, but you got to keep willing to get into the ring. And you don't want to be sitting in the stands. It's better to get into the ring, get your ass knocked out, and then to be sitting in the stands watching it. Get involved. Get in the game, and let's play it. And don't be afraid. And just know that you're going to take some shots. It's just like sports. It's just like biz. Anybody out there listening.
Hitting the ribs, man.
You have children. You want to complicate your life. Have some kids. You haven't had kids yet, right?
No.
And you probably got, are you going to have kids one day?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, well, get ready, okay? Because shit ain't easy.
What's the lesson you can give to me as a potential father in the future? What would you say as your advice? Well, you just had your son just broke his arm and you're running around and
oh man, and they're fighting this morning. Now he's pissed off because he broke his arm, so he's mad, he's yelling and fighting with his sister and whatever. So yeah, kids complicate everything. It really is tough.
That's why I haven't had kids for as long as I have.
Oh, I believe it's the that and finance is the number one reason for divorce,
because
you talk about all these different persons, especially the more kids you have, it's tough. But it's the best thing that ever happened to you too. It opens your heart up even more. And so I would say approach being a father or a mother, whoever's listening, just like you would approach your job and using all the principles that I'm talking about. Realize it's going to be hard. It's going to bring you to your knees sometime. But there's so much information out there on how to be the best parent you can be. And really connect to them. Don't try to bring them up to your level. Go to them. And this is something I had to learn the hard way. It took me a while to learn this, but get down on your knees, look those kids in the eye, and listen to them, and open your heart when you're talking to them, and dance and play with them. Become a little kid with them, because they're not ready to come to your level. And I know people are out there, I'm not saying you have to do baby talk and all that stuff.
Right, right.
And people out there, well, I treat my kids like they're an adult, like this, because it helps them get older and better, wiser, faster. And I'm like, well, who cares? Little prodigies, most prodigies don't work out.
Right.
Just know that. Look up the stats.
LeBron's one of the few.
Of the few. I mean, don't get me wrong. They work sometime. But you look at – that's incredible. And you look at all these shows. Tiger Woods was on there when he was younger. Yeah, it worked out. But most of those kids are dribbling. You see them on YouTube and running fast and juking all the kids.
Never hear about them again.
They fizzle out. They feel like – so enjoy. Enjoy it. Enjoy being a parent. Enjoy – really try to look at it as just fun. And your kids will love you a lot more for it. And you can't force the flower open. I always feel like – children are little flowers, and you water them, and you put the good fertilizer, you put the good food down there for them to grow, but you can't force it open. You have to wait for them to open, and it
might take a long time for them to build roots underneath, right?
Yeah. My 18-year-old took this is the first year I've seen this kid just blossom.
Wow.
Because and my other kids are different. their way. Everybody's different. There's all these different personalities, and you can't blanket parrot. Every kid is unique and individual. Just like if somebody works for you,
sure,
you have to really hone in on what their gifts are, and grow it.
This is beautiful. I've got a couple final questions for you.
Sure.
This is called the Three Truths. So imagine it is your last day on Earth, and you're as old as you want to be. You get to pick the day, but eventually you got to leave the physical body.
Yeah.
It could be 100, 200, doesn't matter. Modern technology, 1,000, whatever it is. You got to go at some point. And you've created and achieved everything that you've written down in your journal every week. Like, it's all come true.
Yeah.
All the success you want, the love, everything, it's happened. But for whatever reason, you got to take all of your accomplishments, your work with you. So no one has your podcast anymore, anything you've written down, any video access to you. It's all come with you. Mm-hmm. But you get to leave behind a piece of paper that has three things you know to be true about your life. That would be the lessons you would leave behind. Three lessons that the world would have, and this is all they have to remember you by. What would you say are your
words?
Like a lesson. It could be a sentence. It could be a paragraph. But just three different lessons, like, come from your heart. It could be a lesson.
Yeah. Well,
always give your best. You know, whatever your truth is, what would be the three things you'd want people to have as lessons from you?
When it comes to what you love, life takes off on the other side of fear. I think relentlessly pursue what you love, I guess.
You guess or you know?
No, I know. Relentlessly pursue what you love. And when speaking and listening, do that with your heart.
That's the third one?
Yeah.
When speaking and listening,
do it with your heart.
I like it.
Like your mind, your heart, prosperity and fun come when your heart becomes the filter to your mind's thoughts.
What do you mean by that?
So I believe everything you want will come when you can filter what comes up into your brain and filter that down through your heart and let your heart speak it.
Ooh.
So fun and prosperity come when your heart can become the filter for your mind's thoughts.
That's good. I've never heard it said that way. Quote Tony Gonzalez. Yeah. I like it. Okay. What is the thing you are most proud of that most people don't know about you?
That most people don't know about me? I think that's a hard one. Lewis, what the hell?
Hey, we're trying to get wide open here.
I know. I love it. But I'm like, okay, what the hell? Most proud of me? I'm trying to think because I am pretty wide open. Like most people, I'll just tell them.
Like something that I saw your actions was like when I was over your house. You were like, yeah, I make breakfast for my kids every day.
Oh.
Or like 5 days a week. Or I'm not sure how many times, but you're like, pretty much every day I'm getting up, I'm making gourmet bread, I'm doing the pancakes, I'm doing everything.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud that I do that for them. And I was like, that's pretty cool because you could have a chef doing this, you could whatever, have them do it, but you get up and you make breakfast for those kids. I think that's something that inspired me as a future father. It's like, wow, I want to be like that.
That's a good one.
Not like I want to be a Hall of Famer, but like I want to be like a dad that makes kids for his breakfast. I think that gets me like, you know, emotional.
Well, that's a good one. You know where I got that from? It's funny. You know, you ever seen Casino with Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci?
Yes.
So Joe Pesci in there, he's like narrating it, and he goes, no matter what we did, I'd always go home and I'd make breakfast for the kids.
Wow. There you go. Yeah. I'm shooting people in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I'm shooting people in the middle of the night, you know, whack you out, a couple people, but I'm going to go home and make pancakes for my kids.
Yeah.
So that's where I got that from. And that's a good one. I would say that because that is pretty unique. I don't know anybody else who does it, but I really love doing that for the kids. I kind of did it this morning.
Yeah.
You know, I like being the short order cook for all four of the kids. Or whoever friends they have there.
That's cool.
I love opening up my home to people. I get that from my mother. So yesterday we had probably 20 kids at the house.
Wow.
And if you get to know me, you're like you've come over a couple times. Yeah. Come on over and I'll have other people there. I love hosting people at my home.
That's cool.
And then I love to read. Most people, I guess maybe you probably do know that, but I love to read. I always want a book in my hand.
That's cool.
About something. Mind, body, spirit related.
Yeah.
It could be a story, but I want to learn.
I love it, man. It's good stuff. I love learning this about you. Okay. We've got a new show that's coming out soon.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Wide Open. It hasn't come out yet, right?
It's Wide Open, the podcast.
Coming out soon. And they can get it where? Where can they get it? Where do you want to send people to?
Well, I think we'll be on Facebook.
We'll be on iTunes. We'll be on Apple Podcasts.
I got my little cheat sheet here.
We on Spotify. It's on everywhere. Podcasts.
Yeah, it's on everywhere. It's podcasts, Spotify, Apple.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
And do you have a website yet?
Personal website? Tony Gonzalez 88.
Okay.
Are you
putting out information there? Are you doing a newsletter?
No, we're not.
Not yet.
I got Nisha here. She's helping me out.
Can they subscribe for your updates anywhere on your site, or is it just social media follow you on?
Right now, it's social media. Yeah.
But you got to get you an opt-in somewhere.
Yeah, know? Tony Gonzalez 88, social media. You can check out all information there, and then it's all going to be coming out. And I got to tell you, thank you, because you are an inspiration for me to even do the podcast. Because I was watching your shit and I was like, this is great. And there's a lot of people that have done stuff like this, but I'm doing it because I love it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I do have a lot to share. And a lot of that is honestly being inspired by you. I mean, I found out you play semi-pro football and I was like, oh, this guy's. And I look at it this way, like we're all in this together.
Of course.
And you have your crowd. And then Gary Vaynerchuk has his crowd and Tim Ferriss has his crowd. And we all have these crowds, but we're all making the world a better place by presenting information that we love.
Yeah, so, man.
I appreciate you.
Of course, man.
For taking the lead on all this stuff. You've been doing this stuff, man. For how long have you been doing this show?
6.5 years.
Six and a half years. Yeah, I'm looking at this wall. I'm like, this is nuts.
840 episodes. Yeah.
This is great.
And if I could do it, you could do it easily. Trust me. I mean, it took some time to learn how to connect and interview. And I had no clue what I was doing, but I was just curious.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like what Tom talks about is being curious. And I think that's going to be what's going to make your show great too, is you being curious and not trying to script everything.
No, we're wide open.
Your team was like, oh, send over questions. I'm like, no, we're going to keep it open. You know, we're going to make sure that it's authentic. And I like to hear that you're like, I don't know. Let me think about it for a second. For me, that's the stuff where like the magic comes right after that.
The ad lib.
Exactly.
The ad lib.
That's where it's at.
Yeah.
So Wide Open's coming out soon. They can follow you on Instagram. You're going to be doing hopefully more stuff on there. I see you doing a little bit more there.
I'm trying to get acclimated. This whole social media thing has been a little bit of a thing for me. You ask my team about it. I'm part Charles Barkley.
Right.
Where Charles is like, I don't need that stuff, you know. But it's also, at the same time, I understand the knowledge that you can bring to people.
Yeah,
the help, it's there.
And
it's fun.
It is fun.
I just have a hard time stopping my day sometime going, okay, hey, I need to put something else out there. But I do understand it, and I'm getting into it, and I'm starting to enjoy
That's
it
good.
A little bit better.
Yeah, and your team will support you.
They'll support you.
Okay, they can go subscribe to that. How else can we support you? Besides that, you're going to be on TV every week.
Football season is here. And so, yeah, Thursday night football on Fox, and then Sunday football all day.
That's amazing, man.
All day. Talking about what I did for a living and
giving the glory days.
And I, that's pretty much it. I am working on a book here.
Really?
All right. That's
what's that going to be about?
It's like a little handbook is what I'm doing. That's the idea of it. It's not really a 278-page book. That's what they told me the last book I wrote back a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was like, it's got to be 278 pages or something like that. It's a sweet spot, but this is a little bit shorter handbook.
That's cool.
On how to...
More like life principles or what's
like leveling up.
That's
cool.
Let's,
I don't care who you are. Let's get better if that's what you're into.
I like it.
Given my take on that, and there's a lot of takes out there, but underneath it all, it's all the same thing, just presented differently, and you have to find what connects to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to find what connects to you.
I love that. Well, if they follow you on social media and the podcast, then you'll announce that when it comes out in the future, they can get the book.
Yeah.
Before I ask the final question, do you have any questions for me?
I told you, I'm going to bring you on the show now.
Okay, we'll do that then. I'll have people come listen to that when I go
there. I want you to sit there. I want to see you tearing up a little bit going, okay, tell me.
I cry all the time on the show, yeah. Well, I want to acknowledge you, Tony, for we've only known each other for a few months, but I really acknowledge you for your authenticity and your openness. Like, you came to me and you were like, hey, I have questions for you. Can you help me out with this thing, that some stuff you're going through in your life? We've connected at your house a few times. You're just such a giving, generous human being. And for me, that's what matters. The Hall of Fame status, the records, all that stuff, it's cool. But if you don't have the caring, giving nature, it's not as fun to be with someone. So I acknowledge you for your continued curiosity at such a high level. You're so successful in what you've done. You're at the top in the world, and you're still a giver. You're still curious, and you don't act like you have it all figured out. And I think that's really hard for someone at your level to do, and I acknowledge that about you. And I just think that you're just getting started, man. This is all just like groundwork. You're just getting started, and I'm excited for everything in the future. I'm excited for our friendship, and if there's anything I can do to support you, please let me know.
Thank you, bud.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
Final question is, what's your definition of greatness?
Isn't that what we talked about this whole time? Rewind the damn tape. Definition of greatness. I think curious, open heart, and fearlessness. I think if you can be curious, have an open heart, and to me, open heart means no fear of judgment, total presence, not worrying about the past or the future. That's what open heart, like joy, like really finding joy in other people's joy. That's what I call joy. That's being in your heart.
Joy, is that what you said?
You call it joy.
That's cool.
What I tell my kids. You got to have joy. And if you can be fearless as you approach that, as you stay in your heart, really, the sky is the limit. You will have whatever you want. It doesn't mean you're not going to get your ass kicked, but you will have it all. I promise you will. Because it isn't about the money. It isn't about the fame. Trust me, there's miserable people that I know that have a lot of money and have a lot of fame. It's about what's in your heart and being fearless as you approach that. And so that's my definition.
There you go. All right, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for having me.
There you have it, my friend. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Tony. I love his mindset. I love how much he's been able to constantly grow after all those years in the NFL and consistently stay at the top of his game and get better every single day. Make sure to share this with one friend, two friends today. I don't care as many people as you can, but at least one person. Text a friend this link, lewishouse.com/850. Be a champion and a hero in someone's life today by sending them this valuable information and inspiration. It could truly help someone transform and upgrade their life with this tool in this interview. Again, lewishouse.com/850. Make sure to share it on Instagram story. Tag me, Lewis Howes, and tag Tony Gonzalez so we can know what you enjoyed most about this. Share it with your friends over on social media. And as always, if you have not left a review yet, please leave me a review over on Apple Podcasts, over 5,000 plus five-star reviews. I don't care if you leave a one-star or five-star review. I just want you to leave a review and tell me what you think about this show so we can continue to learn, improve, and make it better for you. So make sure to leave a review today as well. A big thank you to Tony again for coming on. Make sure you guys check out his new podcast, Wide Open. He's got some amazing people on there already. And he's going to help a lot of people in this stage of their life. So make sure to check it out. Give him a follow over on Instagram. Send him some love. Again, share this with your friends. And as always, you know what time it is. It's time to go out there and do something great.
Hey there, Brenda.
It's Carol.
Exactly. So which leg are we operating on?
You mean arm?
It's all connected.
Asking the right question can greatly impact your future.
Are you sure you're an orthopedist?
Actually, I'm a Sagittarius.
Especially when it comes to your finances.
Do you have a question?
Are you a certified financial planner?
Yes, I'm a CFP professional.
CFP professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch to Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.